Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by slightly smaller crew than usual. We've got Bo Johnson in the office today. How you doing, Bo?
Wonderful. Great to see you.
I'm excited about this one. Tracy Noble, how are you?
I'm doing great today.
I'm glad to hear that. We got Matt and Karen in studio helping us stay on track. Bo, am I going to ask you, what is the title of today's podcast?
Apology Necessary.
That's right. We're playing on the idea of no apology necessary. Sometimes apologies are necessary and they're good. And what we want to talk about today is the role that forgiveness plays, or the central place that forgiveness holds in vulnerability and trust and humility. And in relationships that are built on trust, where people are vulnerable, they are willing to ask for forgiveness, apologize, and they're willing to forgive others. And when that's not there, when that doesn't happen, there's something critical missing. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
So, Pat, when I hear that topic, I love the idea of forgiveness. What does it have to do with work?
It has everything to do with work. It has to do with this. When you're working with another person, what you want to do is maximize the amount of productivity and goodness that can come out of any relationship, any conversation, any meeting, any activity. And if you're doing that, you need to push as far as you can. You need to lean into the project. You need to enter the danger. You need to ask the questions. You need to do everything possible to make it great. And if you're doing that, there's no way to control for occasionally stepping on one another's toes or going too far. And if a person cannot say, I'm sorry, I think I went too far, or, hey, I can forgive you for stepping on my toes, if that is not possible, then we are never going to maximize what any two people or group of people can get done. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. You said this to me earlier today, said if apologizing is hard, you won't do things that you might have to apologize for.
Yeah. If you go into a relationship and you say, I'll do anything as long as I never have to say I'm sorry.
Yep.
You're never going to go close to that line.
And it reminds me of something that we talk a lot about personally, Pat, which is that there are sins of commission and also sins of omission. And we tend to more easily hold a grudge and be bitter and talk about the sins of commission than we do of omission.
Right. Right. Which I think what you mean by that is, as long as I don't do anything wrong, that's okay.
Yeah.
But a sin of omission is when you see somebody on the street who needs help and you just walk by and you don't do anything.
Yeah.
That's a sin, but it's of omission. A sin of commission would be pushing somebody down. And I think as long as I didn't push anybody down, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And in the workplace, people can work together for years and never do anything that they would have to apologize for. But what they should really do is apologize for never going to that place where they might need to.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this for years. I used to interview people for years, and Tracy reminded me of this earlier today.
Yeah, gosh, Pat, I think it was 1996 when you first interviewed me. And I remember your interview to this day. One of your first questions of me was, and I think you said, if I were to ask your husband, would he say that you hold grudges? Can you forgive people? And I thought, I wonder why he's asking me this. It was so interesting. It stood out in my mind.
And I didn't remember having done that. You literally reminded me of that today. And so this was long before, you know, we wrote the, you know, Humble, Hungry, and Smart, what's the book called?
The Ideal Team Player.
And so long before all of that got developed, I always had this visceral feeling, if I'm going to work with somebody, I need to know that if I do something wrong, they'll tell me and let me apologize. And that if they do something wrong, they will apologize. Because if we can't get there, we are going to be so guarded. And so really early on, before I'd written any books, this was in my gut around, this is what I need from people that I work with. Because without it, you don't trust each other.
Yeah. So what you're talking about is being willing to kind of get rid of the scorecard. Say, I'm not going to keep the filing cabinet anymore of all the things that you've done wrong. I think that some people would say, well, that doesn't sound very strategic. If I don't have the list of wrongs that you've done before, I don't have as much ammunition, or I don't have the data points about whether or not it's safe to trust you, or the proof that your idea might not work this time. And this is such a totally different way of thinking about how relationships at work work, that it's not about, oh, we'll just meet in the middle, or you get your way sometimes and I get my way sometimes. It's fully entering into what we call entering into the danger, which means trusting each other.
Yeah. And so much of this goes back to the five dysfunctions of a team. You know, you have to trust each other so that you can engage in conflict, right? And why would you engage in conflict with somebody that you didn't think had the capacity to say, "Ooh, I'm sorry." Is it really going to be a conflict if you're debating with somebody, even arguing a little bit, and you know that if that person does something wrong, they're not going to apologize, or if you do something wrong, they're not going to accept your apology? There's no way you're going to have honest conversations and healthy conflict.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about why we avoid asking for forgiveness. Why do we avoid apologizing?
Yeah, it's the $64,000 question, isn't it? And I think beneath it is usually a kind of a level of insecurity or a sense that you're not worthy. I think people that don't apologize well are the same people who don't accept apologies well. And I mean, I'm sure there's psychotherapists and psychologists out there and many books around this, but to forgive someone requires a level of emotional generosity and even, well, vulnerability that some people just find to be too painful or too hard. What do you think, Bo?
Well, I, a couple of weeks ago, called you to apologize for something. And I'll tell you what was going on in my mind is, if I bring this up and tell him, then he'll know that I did it wrong. But if I don't apologize for it, maybe he won't notice, right? So I think there's some self-preservation, self-protection. Maybe there's a pride thing in there. And I also think that there is, you really hit the nail on the head about it's hard to forgive somebody else if I'm not a forgiving person. If I'm keeping score, it's much harder to receive forgiveness.
Yeah, you think you're not worthy of it. You know, that's absolutely, I think shame is underneath all so much of that, deep feelings of shame. But it's interesting because when you told me you called me to apologize, the funny thing is I didn't remember what it was for. Because to me, I just thought, oh, that's great. Yeah, I didn't really realize that. I guess that is something you could do. All it did to me was say, oh, he's aware of that. He's on top of that. And that's awesome. So when you're willing to do it, people get very quick to forgive. And it becomes less and less risky. And that makes the whole work environment, it's like the lubricant of a great work environment is that everybody knows that I'm going to have conversations, I'm going to take action. And even if I do something wrong, because it's funny, the thing you apologized for, Bo, a few days later, I went and did something, I stepped into that, that you apologized for not doing something. I didn't even remember your apology, but I actually stepped in and took responsibility to do something that might not have been the right thing to do. I don't know. But I remember thinking, oh, well, if I go too far on this, I can always apologize to Bo. If he says, hey, Pat, that's my job. I should be doing that, not you. I would just say, oh, I'm sorry. And he would go, that's okay. And so what's interesting is in organizations where people apologize and accept it genuinely, people are a lot less afraid to take action because they're like, when in doubt, act, which is why I love this, the phrase, ask for forgiveness rather than permission. Every organization should be like that because then people are not going to be so afraid to be bold.
Okay, I have a question. We talk about the six types of working genius often on this podcast. There are three geniuses that are more disruptive and there are three that are more responsive. So the three that are more disruptive are the geniuses of invention, galvanizing, and tenacity. And the ones that are more responsive are wonder, discernment, and enablement. Do you think that it's harder for disruptive or responsive geniuses to ask for forgiveness? Maybe the real question is, do you think that personality plays into the ability or willingness or receptivity to saying, I'm sorry, I screwed that up?
What do you think, Trace?
I would say no. My answer to that would be no, but
that's my answer too.
Yeah. I think it's obviously more related to humility, right?
Yeah. I think it's more of a characterological or personal security.
Sure.
Self-esteem. But I think what is interesting, Bo, is that I think that if you're a disruptive in the working genius, I think that is when you have to be willing to apologize a lot. Mm-hmm. But what's ironic, and that's, again, independent of your self-esteem and your humility and security. And what I find is probably people that are not disruptive, but responsive, they're probably a little bit more apt to do it quickly because it's an interesting thing. I don't mean that they apologize more, but I think that if you're disruptive, you have to get used to the fact that you're going to shake the cage a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very interesting thing. I mean, I'm half disruptive, half responsive. So I'm trying to split myself in two and ask, this is where it might get into Myers-Briggs too. There's feelers and thinkers.
Yeah. I was going to say, I certainly with disruptive geniuses, they'll shake the cage, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to apologize for what they've done.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. As a feeler in Myers-Briggs, which is not about working genius, it's about your personality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm more afraid to ruffle somebody's feathers than somebody who's a thinker. And you're a thinker in Myers-Briggs, Bo.
I am. Yep.
Do you think that you're a little bit, you think things roll off your back a little bit more?
Probably initially.
Your wife's a feeler?
Yeah.
Do you think it's easier for you to kind of...
Well, it's definitely easier initially. If something happens, I can kind of roll with it. And it's harder for her. She's pretty justice oriented, wants things to be right. But later, my sense of injustice and that was when I can come back with a bit of a vengeance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I do think like Myers-Briggs is your initial thing, how you initially go into it. Ultimately, if you're a thinker, you still have lots of feelings. And if you're a feeler, you can still, you know, stand up for things. But your initial reaction to things is, ooh, I don't want to upset somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I asked the question. I didn't really have an answer in my mind about the personality relating to forgiveness. But I think what I'm learning in the last few minutes is forgiveness is equally important no matter your wiring, but you might have a different response to it. Like I do think it's true. I'm double disruptive. I'm an ENTJ. I step on toes. And I do have to be quick to apologize. That isn't an excuse for continuing to step on toes in the wrong way. But I'm more likely to commit sins of commission, I think. And
right.
And I think that there are more responsive people more likely to have the sins of omission. But that one isn't better or worse than the other, right?
Absolutely not.
I don't need forgiveness more than anybody else does. But we all, like every relationship, every wiring type needs to be able to step up to the plate and say, when I did that or didn't do that, that might have hurt you and I'm sorry.
Yeah. And society, though, pays so much more attention to the sins of commission. Somebody was just telling me how there was like somebody got beaten to death in San Francisco that's relatively close to our office here and people just walked by.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody talks about that, you know? And that's not to diminish the people who commit the crimes, but we are called upon to participate in society. Now, I'm not saying it's one thing if you don't get involved in something in your office or on the street because you think it's potentially really harmful.
Mm.
But sometimes people are just indifferent and they think as long as I'm not the one who caused the problem, I'm clean. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the way it is.
Mm.
So can I ask this is a big question. Are we always called to forgive? Talk a little bit about that. Are we always called to forgive people?
And I think, Bo, you've worked in ministry for years. Let's both decide on our answer and say it at the same time. What are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. You said yes too. Okay.
You.
And people are going to go, what are you talking about? And we hear about these people who somebody murders their child or their parent and they forgive them. Okay. Forgiveness is one thing. It's liberating. And that's you saying, I will extend that forgiveness. But what it's not, there's two more steps involved. And people think that forgiveness involves those two steps, and they don't. It's one thing to forgive somebody. It's another thing to reconcile with them. You can forgive somebody and decide the boundaries are, I can't reconcile. It's just not safe. It's not right. It's not good for me. So sometimes when people say, oh, I'm going to forgive them, I'm going to go be their best friend now. That's not the same thing. Forgiveness is first. Reconciliation comes next. And then comes the third one, which is trust. So saying I forgive you doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to reconcile and trust you. That takes years or months, or depending on the situation, to rebuild. And I think sometimes people don't understand. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and it liberates you as well as that other person. But then you might say, but I cannot be around you, and I can't trust you now, and that's okay.
And my experience is that forgiveness is not a one-time activity. I had a boss, I was telling you all some stories about this years ago, who I feel like treated me very poorly. And I left that organization and just decided I wasn't going to carry it anymore. And I think that I probably forgave him about every day for a year before it took. And because it just, it's not a, oh yeah, I forgive him. You have to get it inside of you to actually decide, I'm not going to carry that baggage around with me anymore. In fact, last week I was chatting with somebody who had been wrongfully terminated from their position. And a friend connected me with them. And I said, this is going to be, this is going to sound like it's so none of my business, but you have to forgive them. Because if you don't, you will never get to move on. That doesn't mean that you have to rush back to work there. It doesn't mean you would trust a friend to go and work in that organization, right? It doesn't mean that you would want to hug them if you saw them at a dinner party. It just means you're deciding it's not worth me carrying that around anymore.
Yeah, Karen just wrote an interesting comment, and that is, depending on the level of offense, sometimes it takes longer. But we can decide, I want to do that. I'm going to work toward that. I'm going to keep doing it until it takes. Or we can decide I'm going to hold on to it. And sometimes that's because we have pride, or we want to control things, or it gives us power. But it always erodes us not to forgive. And maybe we're going way deeper than we're thinking about just in terms of the office environment. I think they're totally related. But we're talking about things like, I mean, today I said to Tracy, hey, Tracy, come on, let's go do that thing. And she goes, okay, but you know I'm doing the other thing you asked me to do. And that's where her way of going, that's annoying. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like we've got to get used to doing it even in relatively small things, so that we're willing to take the risk to take action even when we're not sure that it might not offend.
Okay, I have a question about when you're asking for forgiveness or apologizing. Tell me about the role that emotion plays. Is it helpful for you when somebody's apologizing that they are emotional in their apology, that there is like a remorse in their in the way that they're apologizing?
I don't think it's emotional. I think it's just about authenticity.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, I completely agree, Pat. It absolutely has nothing to do with emotion. You can tell when it's authentic. I mean, we see this. I remember this with my kids when they were younger, when I was teaching them about forgiveness. And you remember those moments where they just sat there and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. And they didn't mean it.
Yes, totally.
And that's what you had to teach them. No, it has to be real, guys.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I will say this. Some people have a hard time apologizing right away. There's two people in my family, in my immediate family now, who I just know, and it's really hard for me. Like if they do something wrong and we're in an argument and they're wrong, the best they can offer in the moment is sorry. and I'll go, and then I'll say, and they'll say, what do you want from me? But if I leave them alone for 15 minutes, they'll come back to them and go, I'm really sorry, you know? And so sometimes it takes a person has to process it. Sometimes people do it right away. But the question is it authentic? And it might take a while. Otherwise, and by the way, a false apology, one that's not authentic, becomes political. And to be apologized to, but not to mean it, is a form of manipulation that destroys trust. So it'd be better for somebody to go, I know it seems like I should apologize. I really, really, really don't think what I did was wrong. So I'm not going to do that yet until I figure this out, you know, rather than apologizing just for the sake of doing it. can really erode trust too, which is pretty interesting to think about. You know, one other thought I had is, and Tracy, you and I have talked about this. This is a very liberal arts episode, and that is that sometimes in life, I don't know if it was generational, but like, I don't recall my parents apologizing very often, which means pretty much never. You know, yeah. I mean, we just didn't expect that from our parents then. Of course, now, as a result of that, I think I apologize to my kids all the time. If I believe I did something wrong, I'll say, hey, I'm really sorry. I want to tell you I did that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, I think it's better to err on the side of doing it too much when it's authentic.
Yes.
But I think there's generations. I think there was a time where your boss, your parents, your coach, your teacher just didn't think it was their place to apologize to a student or a player on the team or a subordinate.
Sure, because they were in a position of authority. And it was the never let them see you sweat generation, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you're right. It's a very interesting thing.
Pat, tell me about the statute of limitations on apologizing. You know, you do something, it hurts the team, or you hurt a person on the team, and you kind of know, maybe you don't think that they know yet. 2-3 days go by. Now it's getting worse and worse. You feel like, oh, I wish I'd just done it.
I think the statute of limitations runs out maybe when they die. I don't think you can ever. I think to go to somebody and say, hey, I know this is 3 years after, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I really am sorry. I don't think there's a statute of limitations. Now, the sooner you do it, the easier it is. And the sooner you do it, the better the healing happens, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think that doing it better late than never is probably never more appropriate than thinking about apologies.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff here. I think what I would leave people with just this. Ask yourself this, people that you work with, have you ever apologized to them? Like in a slightly uncomfortable way, because if it's not uncomfortable, it's not real. Or have they ever apologized to you? And if you've never had that happen in your relationship with them, you're probably not where it needs to be in terms of the level of trust that's going to get the most out of it humanly and organizationally. And it might be a good thing at a meeting to go, hey, you guys, you know, I noticed that we never apologize to one another. One of the questions on our team assessment is, how often are people willing to apologize to one another? And I've had teams to fill it out and they go, I just don't see why we would need to. And I'm like, that means you're probably not having very, very difficult conversations. Mm. So that's a good thing to talk about at a team meeting and say, hey, you guys, I just noticed we don't apologize to each other. Is that because we're not willing to, or because we're too careful? And have that conversation. And somebody might say, hey, you know something, Teresa or Fred, I should have apologized to you long ago for this. And man, taking that first step could open up the team to getting more comfortable with it. I'm sorry if we went too long. I'm apologizing. Matt was shaking his head. No, it's okay. Okay, Bo, do you have an unpaid advertisement for us?
Ooh, I love this part of the show. Okay, I was thinking about this. Yes, today's episode is brought to you by 80s music.
Oh, and that is so good, Bo.
We've been talking about 80s music in the office. Pat and Tracy, you have a favorite band that's kind of, you've been telling
me
about.
We sure do. We were just playing Yaz for all you young folk yesterday.
Some fantastic.
Yeah, and you know something? It's one of our favorite bands. Me, Karen, and Tracy, who are all slightly less young than the other young people in our office. And this was a big band for us in college and high school. And we loved Yaz. It was called Yazoo in Europe. Tracy, Karen grew up in Europe. But most young people have never heard of them. And they know all the other 80s bands.
Right.
And then we say, so what about Yaz? And to a person, they have this blank look on their face. I've never heard of them. And they influenced a lot of other bands. So we're going to do, I love this, a paid advertisement for 80s music. And we're going to have a specific recommendation of Yaz, Y-A-Z.
Fantastic. I love 80s music so much. It's my go-to workout mix. And it's just great. You know what I'm saying? Like the A-ha, Styx, Hall & Oates. It's all, I don't know, just pumps you up in a way music today and can't do.
Even Matt just typed into the chat, 80s music is good. There's something great about it. Most of the videos on, however, are really terrible. But the music itself was actually really good. So that's our unpaid ad. Thank you.
We have a colleague that hates 80s music. Do you know that? Just like we have colleagues that hate celery. We have a colleague that hates 80s music.
Julie Dobbins.
Julie
Karen
hates
said
80s music.
We will be firing Julie Dobbins. So Julie, well, let's just let this podcast be your announcement. You're 2 weeks from now. We've enjoyed working with you.
Maybe if she says she's sorry, then we can give her a chance to stick around.
Way to pull it all together, Bo. Well, that's the end of our podcast, everybody. We want to thank you for joining us. Learn to forgive. It's liberating. Talk about it with your colleagues, your family, your friends. And we will talk to you the next time on At the Table. God bless.